We are here. We are live. You are now tuned in to the one, the only, infamously speaking, with your favorite hosts, Matt Rosa and Quan Trong, back on the ones and twos. And if you didn't know, now you know, baby.
You guys are tuning in to Infamously Speaking. As our new intro, Gave You My Love, Blunted Beats. Shit Shout is fire, man. Beats. Shit is fire. Yo, so I'm on the ones and twos. Do what?
I'm the one, you the two.
That's it, man.
But no, I hope you guys are tuned in. You're sitting down, having a drink with us. You know, just showing love, show hate, whatever. We appreciate it all. Like we always say, like, comment, share, do all that good stuff. Let them know that Infamously Speaking is here.
We're here. I'm back from Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
I survived my running with a bear.
Yeah.
That shit was crazy. So let me get some context. I was watching NFL Red Zone yesterday. I was at my godfather's house. Shout out to my godfather. Doing big things. Just bought a crib. Awesome crib.
Yeah, that's dope.
Beautiful. And he has this little screened-in area. This porch, little walkout porch screen area in his backyard. And he shares, like, he didn't share a backyard, but there's no fences between backyards. So people's, like, dogs and shit can walk
just
through.
Roll through, yeah.
Exactly. So I'm watching Red Zone on my laptop, and I see something out the corner of my eye. I'm like, ah, it's probably somebody's dog. But as it continues to walk closer and closer, I'm like, that's a big fucking dog. And I look and I see that shit's face. She got his tongue out. I'm like, that's a fucking bear. That's a whole, I see the fucking claws on that thing. I'm like, yep, I'm all set. So I go inside, tell my brother, yo, there's a bear outside. He's like, no fucking way, there's no bear outside. So I'm like, yo, chill. I'm like, the bear didn't see me. There's only nothing but a screen between me and him. So you gotta chill the fuck out, number one. I ain't trying to die, right? I'm trying to be on vacation. I'm just trying to see how my fantasy's doing over here.
So you didn't try and fight the bear like Leonardo DiCaprio in Revenant, is what you're saying?
Yeah, because I saw how it turned out for him.
Did you see how it turned out?
Yeah, he got fucked up.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yo, what did they put in that wound? Was it like gunpowder or something? Remember when you met that like traveling medic or nomad or whatever?
Yeah.
Let's try that.
We should start trying like random shit like that.
I don't know.
I'll put the gunpowder in your womb.
I don't know. That shit, number one, like dumb painful. Number two, that shit like dumb dirty. No way he lived that shit. I know it's a movie, so that keep it going on. Yo, tell me that wasn't one of the fucking longest movies you've ever watched.
Nah, I remember that movie got great reviews, and I wasn't a big fan of it.
Me either.
The bear scene was fire, don't get me wrong. But I was not a big fan of it.
That shit is absolutely heartbreaking. That shit is absolutely heartbreaking, yo.
What happened? You gotta tell him.
I'm not telling anybody what happened.
Matt's fantasy player just cost him 6 points.
6 points. Fumbled it. His old team recovered it, but he fumbled it up. And, man, this shit is a struggle. It's been a struggle today. You know what? Now I'm thinking about it. I'd rather get mauled by that bear than go through what I went through earlier today in fantasy. This shit was trash.
Yo, you saw us thinking about it, right? So, usually, at least in the past, I would constantly be checking the fantasy scores left and right. And being in about 9 to 10 leagues, it gets overwhelming. So this year, I kind of dialed back a little bit. And I check it from time to time. It's only week two, and I must say, I already grew more gray hairs than I already have.
That's what I'm saying, bro. Fantasy, the reason I like fantasy so much is because fantasy football makes you pay attention to football as a whole more. And you start rooting for players you normally root for. You're more interested in more games.
Yeah.
But shit is one of the most stressful things ever. Yeah. It's like being a Yankees fan.
It's not going right now?
It's bad right now. At the moment, it's pretty bad.
Cleveland, they ran it up on you guys.
Twice. 2 days in a row, they scored 11 runs. But we're not talking about that right now. We're talking about how fucking fire that intro is. Again,
the intro is dope.
I mean, people who know, like, they know the context of why that shit is the intro. But I think it fits the show so much because we always talk about you know, concepts of, and we give a lot of ourselves on this show, mm-hmm. right? We talk about a lot of things I feel like a lot of people wouldn't normally talk about. I feel like we're very vulnerable and we're very self-critical on this show.
We're definitely very vulnerable, for sure.
But we do that out of love. We do that because we want people to, number one, build a personal connection with the show. Obviously, get to know us, and we're not just some people behind the mic. You know who Matt and Quan are. But secondly, if we're making mistakes, we'd prefer for you guys not to go and make the same mistakes. Or you could take motivation or inspiration if you're in those same situations.
Yes.
So giving you our love is very, very fitting.
Very fitting for the show. You know, and it's not just on the show. It's like we talk about with the text messages, just checking up. I recently reached out to somebody else who started their own business and are thriving. You know, just seeing people be successful is just a beautiful thing. I mean, I think it hits home a little bit more when it's someone you know. But even seeing people I don't know have success, like, you know, I just recently worked out of town and I was working with people I don't know like that. But every time they saw success, it was like a proud moment to some sense.
Well, that's a fact, and it feels good. You know, and I already shouted out my godfather at the beginning, but like, it's just so dope to see what he's doing and what he's accomplished, coming from where he came from, and just really putting on,
yeah,
you know, for himself and for his family. And it's very inspirational, but it feels good because you got to celebrate success is something I feel like people don't do enough. Obviously, you can't celebrate it for too long, but you should celebrate it. And you shouldn't allow anybody to rain on your parade when you're doing big things like that.
No, you know, facts. I mean? That's facts. You know, sometimes the littlest messages also, I know what you mean by not celebrating too much because you want to still have your eye on the prize and continue to set goals that you want to achieve. But, you know, sometimes some people don't get the support that they were looking for. Even us at times. Like, we didn't necessarily see support in areas we thought we would. So, you know, just sending a message. Like, I sent a message to another person recently, and it was like, wow, that was really timing of you. Like, it was almost like sent by God because he knew that they needed to hear a message that was uplifting in that sense. So for those who even are thinking about it, like, sometimes even myself, I think about, oh, let me send this person this message, and I forget. But, you know, I try to do it in the moment now, so that way there I don't forget. Because you just never know what that difference is that you're going to be making in that moment. So
exactly. And you said something that I really like that I want to touch upon is not necessarily getting the support from people that are close to you.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of the times your biggest detractor or somebody that's going against you is somebody that's really close to you.
Yeah.
It's people in your inner circle that necessarily don't support what you're doing, even when you're doing something that's bettering yourself, right? And for example, you know, Patrick Mahomes, 35-0 touchdown interception ratio, and his wife's hating on him. No, I'm kidding, I don't know that. But sometimes it's like that, right? But let's bring it back to ourselves. You have people that necessarily don't like the show, right? You might have somebody that say, you know what, I don't vibe with you, and, you know, I'm not going to even give you to listen. Like, you know how easy it is just to play something in the background?
Yeah.
You can have it with the volume off or very low. You do that shit with some of your other shit anyways, and you can't do that to people that you know.
Yeah.
It's harder to get an audience from people that you know than from people that you don't know.
Yeah.
Which is fucked up. It should be the other way around, but that's kind of just the society we live in.
Yes, yeah, I always found this to be funny, but true. It's like, it's almost like some people just hate to show love. Like, they hate to show love, and they love to show hate.
That's a fact.
It's just, I don't know.
They ain't giving no love. Shout out to the intro again. They're not giving no love. They're taking it away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's true. I think a lot of times shit like that comes from insecurity. Like, oh yeah, you're doing that. Like, they're scared to give the show love because they're not necessarily at that level of success that they want to be at, and because they're not there, they don't want to show love or appreciate anybody else's success, because that might make them look bad. Like, oh, he's doing it, but I'm not doing it. So I think it's sometimes insecurity. Some people are just fucking bona fide haters, though. And that's just like in their blood. They just want to hate.
Yeah. And you just gave me an idea of, well, first I thought of that saying, like, people make jokes, but it's secretly like they're hating on the low. You know what I mean? Like the sarcastic jokes. But it's funny. He's not hating, but I just thought about a friend of mine, a comedian. Shout out to Dame FK. He's over there. He's overseas right now. He's doing shows in London, doing big things. And I reached out to him recently, you know, just congratulating him and, you know, wishing him nothing but the best. And he'd be somebody to be having the show. That would be fun. Because I got a story to tell. I'm not sure if he remembers this, but he might remember it, but we'll see. We'll get him on the show one day. Right. We'll talk about it. Because I don't want to talk about the story now. Because
you have to get
he'll have a rebuttal ready for me when he gets back.
No, I get it. It makes sense. Sometimes that's sometimes better left like that anyways.
Yeah.
You got to hear both sides of the story. But I'll let you finish.
Like you said, it literally could take 5 seconds of your time. 10 seconds max. But, like, you know who always shows love? Trey always shows love. Every single episode love. And always. I appreciate that. Shout out to Trey. He's doing his clothing line, too.
It's your fire.
Always dropping some fire. Go check him out. But, you know, it's also a blessing when you get, you know, support in areas or from people that you least expect it, you know?
That's also true. Because, I mean, I think for me, when you get shout-outs and people that you don't really know say, like, wow, we really fuck with the show, it's like, wow, like, I'm making an impact. I'm making a difference. Yeah. Where, you know, when it's people that you do know, sometimes it's like, you know, I see this person every day, I'm talking to them, so it's like, you know, I can make a difference.
Yeah.
Because I just see them, where it's people that don't even know who I am, except for on this platform, and they're like, yo, I was dope what you said on there, and I was very insightful. So, well, that's cool. I appreciate that you're actually listening and you tuned in and you locked in. Because, you know, we don't do this because we like to hear ourselves talk.
No.
You know what I mean? If we could do this, I would have kept the
sometimes
undisclosed
when I listen,
dollar amount that it costs to get this thing started.
Sometimes when I play back the show, whether it's pre-release or after, I try not to listen to myself.
It's weird. I had to admit that. Like, the first year that we did this, I'm like, damn, it's so weird hearing myself on a microphone.
Sometimes I even say, like, to people who's like, I never listened to it. I was like, so you don't want to better yourself? Basically, you don't want to better yourself. You want to be in the same exact spot you're in right now.
That's it.
It will take an hour of your time, and you'd already be progressing if you listen to one of the shows.
But do you really want to be Jared Goff your whole life?
Jared Goff had a good game.
He had a good game. San Francisco almost imploded, but yeah, he had a good game. But it's true, though. I mean, I wouldn't necessarily say it like or word it like that because, I mean, I'm not the one to judge our content to be like, you know, this was insightful, even though I do think that we say unbelievable. Unbelievable what we just fucking watched.
He's nasty.
Yo, that you listen to Infamously Speaking, you will become a Patrick Mahomes at whatever you do. How about that?
Patrick Mahomes is a beast.
Yo, that shit was crazy, man. That shit was crazy.
It was a good catch, too.
Was that DeMarcus Robinson? Yeah. Knee down. Yep, knee down. Possession. By the way, we're watching a Sunday night football game. If that wasn't clear from earlier, Ravens versus Chiefs. 14-7 already, about halfway through the first, and Patrick Mahomes is different. That's all we got to say.
Yeah.
Infamously speaking, is the Patrick Mahomes of podcasts.
The hell is not? Oh, is the Patrick Mahomes? Oh, no. Okay, I can see what you're doing.
Okay.
On our way to Tom Brady. On the way to Tom Brady.
Okay, that's what I want to hear.
All right, cool.
Absolutely. I mean, we got to work our way there. I mean, that's a lot to live up to.
It is.
7 going for number 8.
But if anybody can fill those shoes, these 2 feet can.
That's why they call you Quan Brady?
Quan Brady.
Quan Brady in the flesh.
Damn, I had something to say too, but it kind of slipped my mind because of that play we just witnessed.
Yeah, that shit is unreal. But like, I think the way that we see like sports professionals like Patrick Mahomes or Michael Jordan or LeBron James, like, that they're so good at what they do, Like, that's the kind of work that we're trying to put on here, and that's the kind of work that everybody should look to put in at whatever they do. Just relentless work.
Yeah, I forgot who said it. I don't remember if it was Kobe, but it was along the lines of you see all the plays and stuff that's being made on TV, right? Or the big plays that happens in the big games on the big stage, but what you're not seeing is all the work they're putting in behind the scenes that gets them ready for this stage so that they're already prepared.
Exactly. You guys don't know how many times we try to record that intro. You guys don't know how many times it takes us to record an episode.
How many times Matt edits my mistakes?
Just not just yours. You know, like when we have guests and stuff.
Yeah, especially Tone.
But definitely not my own.
Huh?
Because I don't make mistakes.
You probably make the most mistakes.
Yeah, probably. I probably do. To be honest.
Shout out to you, because that's a lot of time and editing and focus. I mean,
but again, it's just always about getting better at the craft. Mm-hmm. Getting better at the craft. We're not stopping. And, you know, Kobe Bryant is a very influential sports figure to most in our generation, and most who watch him. And I saw a stat not too long ago. It was, you know, Kobe Bryant missed the most shots in NBA history. But no one remembers that.
Yeah.
They remember the greatness. They don't remember all the times he didn't succeed at what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
They remember the times that he did succeed because he was just that good. Yeah. He was just that dominant.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's like a lot of things in life. I know plenty of people heard the same, but you miss all the shots you don't take.
100%. Wayne Gretzky, hockey legend, 100% of the shots you don't take.
Now you're a Gretzky fan.
I don't know. I never watch hockey. People love hockey.
You ever watch Lion King on Ice?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, me neither. I wanted to, though. I wanted to take my daughter. It wasn't for me.
No?
Although, a weem away, a weem away, a weem away, a weem away. In the jungle, the mighty. Falsetto was a little messed up.
Yeah, it's a little messed up. I was too busy.
It's a scotch.
I was too busy yelling at the television. AJ Brown was fucking disappointing as shit today. But they got the dub, so I guess that's all that matters.
Well, you know what? I was thinking, right, because we were watching the games together, and I was thinking, all right, we're probably going to record. And so here's the thing. Here's another thing for those who are interested in possibly playing fantasy football. If you're thinking about it, but you're already stressed out in life, if you already feel like you have too many bad days, leave it alone. Because it will literally determine my mood throughout the day.
It is the ultimate roller coaster ride.
Like, people know if my team is losing, don't talk to me. I don't want to be bothered. I'm miserable. I have a bad attitude. And you're not going to get a great response from me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not that invested into it.
I'm not invested into it.
And I used to do like four leagues. I only do one now because I'm like, it's too much. I can't be bringing that negative energy to my home.
Yeah.
Yeah, I sounded, what I sounded fucking Scottish. I said my home.
My homes.
My home.
I can't bring that into my homes. You like him way too much now.
My home. But I can't be bringing that energy. You know what I mean? My son's at an age where he's very impressionable.
He gonna just start throwing toys around. Just
yeah, he already does that. He's already mad violent, beating up his mom and shit.
Yeah, see, I can't.
So I can't be going around saying, fuck this shit, man. I fucking hate fantasy. I really do.
And I go to the extreme. Like I told you, I created memes for that kicker.
If it was anything, like I kicked him off. What you did in Madden, bro, then over is worse.
In Madden?
Yeah, the way you spaz on Madden, crazy.
Just in games, yeah, it's like, yeah. I almost broke that desk over there because I was slamming my fist on it over and over because of some dumb shit. But
you might want to seek help.
I did.
Listen, that Michael Jordan meme, stop it.
What get Michael Jordan meme? The gambling one?
Yeah.
What was
it? Stop it. Get some help.
I took that personal.
Yeah. You should take it personally. Get some help.
Yeah, I know. I told you I did.
Yeah.
I need more.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't for my anger issues as much as it was other issues.
Trust issues. Na 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 na.
Whoa.
I just need to know how many people enjoyed that shy sample
Oh, they loved it. Or everybody I talked to was like,
or the jail sample on last episode.
The jail sample was mad funny. I don't even think some people caught the reference unless they really tuned in. Yeah. We were, because we kept talking about the whole Donda situation.
Yeah.
Which, to be honest, I still haven't listened to either one of those albums.
I'm going to be honest with you.
I just drove. I like listening to music in the car.
Yeah.
I just drove about an hour and a half away for work, so I had time to listen to both of them.
Yep.
But I didn't. One of my mixes came on.
Mixed. It was
turned up. I was in my bag the whole trip. It seemed like an hour and a half drive.
I was talking with my godfather, huge Kanye West fan.
Really?
He loves Kanye West.
I see him more like a KRS-One fan.
Oh, yeah, no, he loves stuff like KRS-One and, you know, Big Pun and a lot of his name music. They know my dad.
Joe. Oh, we should have talked about that.
We can in a second. I watched a little bit. But what I will, what we did was, because we took trips, you know, we were taking trips to the city, Philly. It was about an hour and a half, 2 hours. So one time we just shuffled Kanye West. Yeah, he has like all of his albums on his phone. We just shuffled it. And I was like, I felt like Kanye on the song I Love Kanye. And I was like, I miss the old Kanye.
Yeah.
The soul Kanye.
Yeah.
On his goals Kanye.
Yeah.
I hate the new Kanye. The bad mood Kanye. The always rude Kanye.
But do you?
Yes.
You like this music.
Yes, because the production has always been fantastic. Right? That hasn't fell off. But Kanye had bars before. But he still tapped into who he was. Right, because you could tell Kanye's emotional shit,
yeah,
and you could hear that on a lot of his music. And now it's like the bars ain't there as much anymore. The production's still there, the emotions are still there, but it's just not as good. Quality, I feel like the quality of music as a whole has went down.
Well, you know, it's kind of like what I said before too. I've told you, it was like most people's first albums have the most fire. Because they have their whole life that led up to that point of stories, situations, events, etc. And then after that, it's usually the time period between the last album they made to the new one they're making. So they have less stories, experiences, and stuff like that. I don't know how much time this guy has to invest in like actual bars, but I hear what you're saying for sure as far as the production still being good, just... the bars don't hit you the same as they did when he was younger.
Yeah, I get what you're saying, but I don't even think College Dropout was kind of his best album. Bars-wise.
Okay.
I feel like Late Registration was better. I feel like Graduation was better. My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy was definitely better.
I gotta listen to the bars on that.
But I also do get what you're saying as well.
Like, I mean, most people's first albums are their best.
Because, yeah, I mean, everything is new, right? Everything is new to the audience because you've never done anything in their eyes before.
Yep.
So everything's fresh. Everything's new. Nothing's recycled. So, I mean, I get what you're saying at that point. But I think you're right because, like, I'm trying to think about, like, first albums. Like, Big Pun's first album, Capital Punishment, amazing album. Love that album. One of my all-time favorites. I'm trying to think like
majority of artists. There's a handful that they
get better with
better
age.
Albums. They came out with great, great albums that might be superior after them.
Jay,
in my opinion, Jay definitely. But Jay's favorite album is usually Reasonable Doubt. I think he said he flip flops between that and Blueprint.
Blueprint was such a fantastic album.
Yeah, I just listened to one of the songs came up on my playlist that you don't know. Off the Blueprint album. That song is classic.
That song's fire. I love Takeover. That was one of my favorite warm-up songs whenever I played sports. That was pregame. That was a pregame song.
Wow, now we gave you a pregame intro. We should reach out to Lil Wayne, see if we could do our intro like he does.
No, I'm all set.
I don't even like it.
Me either.
I don't like the intro to that.
But I get it. Like, you want to get someone who's popular.
Like the lollipop. He's just gonna go say, like the lollipop. The lollipop kids.
Like intros like that, I feel like this should be short, sweet, get to the point. Like, let's just keep it rolling. Keep it short. Let's get to the show. I don't need nobody rapping to me. This is not a rapping show. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Y'all debating sports. Don't get me wrong. That show is well done. Skip and Shannon work so well together. It's phenomenal.
You know what's really keeping him smart, hot, too? Shannon's smart. He's smart. Doing the club, Shay Shay.
He's an intelligent person.
The memes and all that.
Oh, he's a funny guy, too.
Yeah.
He's a funny guy. Yeah. Like, Skip!
Yeah.
Skip!
Even the memes where they use his face on everything.
Yeah.
Them shits is funny as hell. And he'll post them. He did one today because the Cowboys won. And it was like, say something nice about the Cowboys. Like, yeah.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. You got a lot of people who embrace who they are, though. And I think that's my problem with a lot of stuff is, like, people try to do what's popular instead of being themselves. Mm-hmm. And you could tell it's forced and it's awkward. And that's something that we'll never do here on this show.
So that's a great transition because a lot of people like the verses, Ja Rule versus Fat Joe. I personally hated it. I really hated it.
I feel like a lot of it was fake.
That's the reason why I hated it. I felt it was forced. I felt like Fat Joe and Ja Rule fake beefing was terrible. I think they was trying to live up to the Lox versus Dipset.
Which you can't.
Energy, which you can't, because it was genuine and authentic. Like, they really was just, you know, going at it type of shit. Not like they hated each other or anything, but
it was a battle.
Yeah, it was, you know, and Ja Rule and Fat Joe, you know, it was great as far as the songs and stuff, cause especially for me. Because it brought me back into the era that, like, I was really involved
especially
into the
Ja,
music.
Especially Ja, bro. When he brought on Ashanti, I was like, oh.
Yeah. But I know a lot of people did enjoy it. And, you know, shout out to them for getting together and being able to put the music up and do it live like that. But bringing out Jada at the end.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny because at one point I was like, yo, Remy's literally the best rapper on stage right now.
That's a fact.
And she was cooking when they did the M.O.P. joint, the remix, the Annie Up. But, you know, it was good for the culture, but I just wasn't a fan of it personally as far as watching it and the fake shit.
I agree with a lot of what you said. They was, number one, trying to live up to the previous verses, which, again, you can't. I mean, no. You really can't. That was an all-time battle. Secondly, you said also, Animosity, I mean, they did songs together. They chilled together. You know what I mean? So it's like, we know you ain't beefing. There's no reason to. I mean, Dipset and Lox wasn't beefing. That was gamesmanship is what they was doing.
Yeah.
And that's where it should have been at. I feel like Fat Joe was like, you've been doing that much singing all night. He's like, that's what I do.
Yeah.
And again, I got to appreciate Ja Rule for being honest. He's like, that's what I do. He's fried. Because that is what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's what made Ja Rule. Again, it definitely brought me back. I mean, as far as it could bring me, those songs came out. I was like, elementary school, middle school.
Yeah, nah.
Definitely should have been listening to those kind
of. Yo, for a minute, I thought he was going to bring out J-Lo. When Ja did the J-Lo song?
Yeah.
That would have been epic.
That would have been great.
To be able to get her out there.
I'm not a huge J-Lo fan, period.
Nah, me neither. But to have
it would have been
somebody of that magnitude come out on stage like that.
I prefer Ashanti, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah.
100%. 10 times out of 10.
Ashanti was one of my crushes.
Absolutely.
She was one of my celebrity 100%. Crushes.
No doubt. I think she was one of
everybody. She looks even better with time.
Fine Wine.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
I felt like she was singing to me when she said, rescue
Nobody looks better than my wife.
Now he's in trouble.
Who I miss very much.
Now he's in trouble.
Who I miss very, very much. My son's walking.
Yeah, I seen that. That's a big step.
Literally.
Get
I see
it?
What you did there.
Wow.
And because he's huge.
Wow.
Oh, man. So, you know what's crazy to me? It's something I'm really, 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 I would say proud, but just grateful for is the consistency that we've had since we gotten back. My son's going to be a year old in a little less than 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And we started back on a grind, what, in May, I think? Maybe June?
Might have been May.
And we've been consistent.
Oh, and yeah.
Like, it kind of... It's funny how things all connect and correlate. And we use sports a lot because that's kind of how we found this podcast. And then through music and other parts of culture. But it's funny how everything connects and the things that you learn. And being consistent in anything that you do is so critical, because I have it on my sweaters. Infamously Speaking merch, by the way. Fucking fire.
Fire.
The fall set's coming, so keep your eyes on that. Look,
some stuff already released. Go check that out.
But consistency is so key, because you need to live what you speak. You need to live what you speak. And the message always has to be the same. And if the message is changing, there has to be a very, very, very good reason why that message is changing.
Has to be valid.
Has to be valid. And you need to have, in my opinion, at minimum 3 points. Critical points of why things are changing. Because you can't just go and speak one message one day and then another message the other day. And we were preaching consistency, but then we weren't consistent. And then what we did is, when we stopped preaching consistency, that's when we were like, yo, let's just shut up and just do it.
Yeah.
So now it's about, all right, we speak it, but we weren't living it. But now we're living it before we were speaking about it. So it's dope to be able to come back on the show, but now, yeah, we're living what we're speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
And it bleeds into being a parent as well. It's super crucial. And obviously, my son doesn't communicate yet, but I said this on a previous show, like building those habits.
He don't speak, communicate, because he communicates in other ways.
Exactly.
Like Scooby.
But being able to just set those, huge fundamental, cornerstones of how I want him to be brought up. And I want him to make sure that when he speaks, that he just doesn't throw shit out there just to say it.
Yeah.
Like, you just don't say things to say things.
Yeah.
Everything, understand everything you say, people just got to treat their words almost like a contract. Especially when you make a promise. Don't make a promise that you don't intend to keep. And a promise doesn't necessarily need to start with, I promise to do this. No, you said you was going to do this. We said that we was going
to
be consistent.
Yeah, you shouldn't have to say you promised. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. It goes to the famous Scarface line. Like, I mean, I said it jokingly when we did one of the intros, but it's real shit. It's like, all you have in this world is your balls and your word.
That's it.
And, it's important you keep your word. You know, it holds up the integrity of the relationship or bond with whoever, friendship, and knowing that you're someone that you speak what you mean and you live what you speak.
Exactly. And it speaks to directly who you are as a person.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, people don't need to tell me all the shit that they are. Just by the way you move, I could tell who you are.
Yeah.
And I always give people chances. I'll let you speak and speak and speak, but just know the more you speak, the more you have to live up to.
Yeah.
It was, honestly, that was
why I stay quiet most of the time.
That was one of the scariest things for me, coming behind a podcast, when we started diversifying from just sports, just analyzing sports. But, I had to overcome that fear and realize, like, we're not going to pop off if we do something that everybody's doing. Yeah. Anybody can analyze sports. It's not very difficult to analyze sports. Right. But what we did, we took sports and we started correlating what we learned in sports to what happens in life.
Yep.
And what we took away from sports growing up and playing them to how we're moving now.
And how it translates to everyday life with anybody else who can relate.
Exactly. But now, as I speak, I've used this podcast a lot as almost as a mirror. But, I'm saying these things, especially when I edit it, because I'm listening to things multiple times over to make sure shit sounds good. And I'm like, I don't even remember saying that on the show. Like, am I really doing what I'm saying I'm doing?
No, that's good. That's good for a couple of reasons. But the main one is that you're able to self-reflect. And we talk about that all the time, multiple times, multiple shows, where it's very important that you have some kind of self-awareness.
Oh, yeah.
If you can reflect and then have genuine self-awareness of what, how you're moving and your behaviors, then that will help you form the consistency that you need.
Exactly. Right. I love that. And I want to kind of make a correlation. you know, reflection is like a dipstick in your car, right? Dipstick in your car, check your oil. You see how much you got. When you reflect, you're checking if you're really doing what you're setting out to do. But without reflecting, how do you know where you are?
Mm-hmm.
How do you know where you are? How do you know where you, if you are where you want to be? How do you know how close you are to being where you are? How do you know if you got a course correct? Unless, until the shit just blows up in your face and your car starts smoking because you have no oil.
Yeah.
You don't want to be in that place. That doesn't mean you hit rock bottom. Now you got to call a tow truck. You got to push your car.
Damn, I got to go check my oil now. Think about
check
it.
Check the fucking oil, son.
That's crazy.
Self-reflect. Holy shit, I got to check my oil. Now my shit is good. I just had an oil problem with my car. I just got that shit fixed. Thank God it's under warranty. But it's important, man.
And it's funny you just brought a warranty, but go ahead.
Because whenever you get behind something, especially on a platform like this, like people think, oh, it must be so much fun doing it. And I have a lot of fun doing it. But whenever you start to speak things that can impact people, you got to really make sure that you doing what you say you're doing.
Yeah.
And I think that's where a lot of people fall short, especially the people that want to be leaders. That's where a lot of people fall short.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be out here contradicting yourself. That's,
but how many people crazy. Do we know that do? And how many times do we do that ourselves and we have to catch ourselves? If someone brings it to our attention. Thankfully, we got somebody like, yo,
yeah,
you asked me to do this, but I didn't see you do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Thankfully, you got people that are brave enough to step up to you and say that.
Well, yeah. I mean, and then I know you just mentioned leaders, but as a leader, that's why it's important to empower those around you to speak up and bring stuff to your attention that some might find difficult to have those kind of conversations. You know what I'm saying? If you got a fucking circle of yes men, which we talked about before, the ability to grow in that kind of circle is almost zero to none, because you're going to be thinking you're doing everything great.
Listen, man, I'd rather be pressed than be yesed.
I know. That's why I tell you all the time, you got to fucking get better. You got to get better.
Yeah, I feel like I don't have any yes men in my circle.
Are you sure? You told me the other guy was.
Oh, yeah. Okay, one. But I got I got a lot of people that are like, yo, what are you doing? What are you doing? Which I'm grateful for. I'd rather have that every day of the week.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're like, damn, I just need a break. Yeah. Can somebody tell me I'm doing good?
Sometimes I'll just, like if I'm cleaning or doing something, I'll put on the show and I'll see what Scooby does. If his ass goes to sleep, I'm like, we was boring. If he's turning up, I'm like, all right, that's the kind of energy I need.
Oh, shit. So you're saying now we're being boring because Scoot's
no, no. But he had a long day playing and running around. Okay. So during the show, don't count. It's always the right time and the moment when I throw it on the new surround sound and turn up and see if he's moving.
Got you. Yeah, I mean, listen. I think this is a great, great thing to talk about, is that you're not always going to be on. Right? You're not always going to be on point. You're not always going to be on the money, on the mark. It's difficult some days. Some days are a grind.
Yeah.
Right. But you can't get discouraged by that. You can't get discouraged by the days that aren't easy.
Yeah.
All right? 'Cause those are the days that are going to build your character. Those are the days that are going to build perseverance.
Positive adversity. Shout out to my boy A. He's doing the positive adversity thing as well with the training, the basketball training for the youth. So shout out to A for that. But I love that he created that. And, you know, I told him personally when I went to my last interview, they said, if we had to read one, like, cliff note about you, what would it be? And I said, positive adversity. Because, you know, everything is good when everything is good. But what happens when the shit ain't?
That's fact.
And, you know, like you said, I mean, I love that you said that, but it's the realest shit. You need that adversity to build your character and see what you can persevere.
And I mean, listen, I love that because I was having a conversation with my godfather again, and we was talking about love, which, you know, again, shout out to our intro. Gave you my love. Iconic. But we were talking, and we were talking about the topic of love. We was arguing, and I was like, people think, like, love is always sweet. Love is not always sweet. Love is difficult, man. Love is difficult as shit. Definitely, it's the hardest thing you ever do is loving somebody. Because it's easy to love somebody when you're happy with them. It's one of the easiest things to do. You want to just shower somebody with your love and your gratitude when you feel good towards them. But you know how difficult it is when you have those hard days when they just piss you the fuck off?
Correct.
But that's when you really show love. That's when you really press in. You know what I mean? And that's when that being positive in the face of adversity really shows up. It's like, all right, well, I was going to do something really good for you. You didn't know about it. I was going to surprise you with something good. But you made me upset. But I'm still going to do something good for you.
Yeah.
Just because I love you.
Yeah, yeah.
It's unconditional. The circumstances don't matter. You know, you still mine. I got you. Mm-hmm. And the same thing happens, just take away love from it, but just in general. Like, shit is tough, but I'm still going to do what I set out to do.
Yeah.
I'm still going to grind the way I said I was going to grind. I'm still going to achieve the goal the way I said I was going to achieve the goal. Like, it doesn't matter how difficult things get. And if anything, that's really when it's time to grind. That's really when it's time to get motivated.
Yeah, 100%. And that's why I said, I mean, I can't stress it more than what you already said as far as it builds your character. And it really tells not just the people or whoever is watching.
That's
but
when you
yourself.
Go into Brady mode.
And you're just like, I got this.
Facts.
I'm going to fucking make it happen.
Ring number 8, the next one. What's your favorite goal? The next one I achieve.
Facts. And that's what we're doing. We're working towards it. And along the way, we make mistakes. That's part of life. But it's, you know, learning from them and adjusting and trying to avoid those for yourself, but also share those. So the next one's not running the same.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I've never understood people that don't want to take help, personally.
Some people got pride.
I just, back when I was younger, I would have said, you know, I get it. Like, you want to experience things on your own and you want to do it. But now it's like, let me get all the help I can take.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially when I know people got my best interest at mine.
Oh, for sure.
Because it's like, what's the point of struggling? Why do I want to struggle? What, to say that I did it on my own? Okay. All right, I could have did something in 15 minutes if I would have asked for help, but now it took me 15 hours. Great job. That's super efficient.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, now that I look back at it, it's like, man, I wish I was as prideful.
So, you know, we like this adversity shit. So I ran into a kid not that long ago, actually really recent, and he likes it. He's in love with his car. He got a Beamer too. So we talking about our cars and shit. And you know me, I'm not attached to my car.
Like, yep.
In fact, I don't even want the fucking thing.
Uh-huh.
But he literally loves his car. Like, to the point where he's like, I can't wait to get back to my
Congratulations.
Car.
Congratulations.
So, but he was talking to me, and he's like, yeah, the intake this and the manifest this or manifold that. And I'm like, yeah, okay. Honestly, I had to be real. I'm like, I honestly don't know shit about cars. And I don't know what you're talking about. Then he's like, yeah, I like learning about it. And he's like, I YouTubed it. He's like, took me 2 days to fix this thing. So I bring that up because you're like, to your thing, his dad was a mechanic, so he could have got help, but he wanted to do it on his own and learn. How do you feel about that?
I mean, did he even ask his dad to approach him? Or is
no.
That, I mean, in my opinion, if I knew my dad could fix something, I might try in the beginning for a couple minutes to figure something out. You know what I mean? Honestly, but if I'm trying to fix something and I know somebody who could fix it, I might try because we talked about it. Like, you try to be resourceful.
Yeah.
But when you're like, all right, this shit is taking too long. You gotta be able to prioritize.
I mean, the difference is he wanted to really do it.
I mean, at that point, then fine.
He had a good point. And he was just like, what did he say? He said, it made him feel more connected to his car.
You know, maybe it'd be more connected. It'd be better to feel more connected to your dad by working on it together than be connected to your car. But,
well, I said something like, you know,
but I mean,
it sounds like you might
listen,
need a girlfriend.
Everybody's different.
Yeah.
But personally, I mean, I would have preferred to be like, hey, dad, you know, how do I do this? Because I still would have learned it.
Yeah.
And the way my dad works, like, all right, like, You probably, he'd walk me through. He wouldn't do it for me. He'd walk me through it.
That actually reminds me of something else. So, shout out to my homie, shout out to Mars. She does her show. I told you about the Exotic show.
Yep.
They talk about interesting things. But she had put a post up, and I don't ever respond to posts. I just don't. I just don't feel like getting 90 notifications from people I don't know with. And then they say something, and I have to say something because I'm infamously speaking. So I don't feel like doing that.
Are you using
so,
the business page infamously speaking?
No. Okay. Because I speak infamously, and that's who I am because I live what I speak.
Oh.
I have to show up. So you get it. All right. Now you finally understand what I'm saying. But the question was, it was a two-part question. I'll let you answer first, and then I'll respond to you with my answer.
Sure.
Would you want A or B?
Okay.
A, I don't want to paraphrase. I should look it up.
Yeah, look it up. Play some elevator music.
Yeah, I play the Jeopardy shit, right?
Yeah, I ain't trying to get a copyright claim, so.
You can get that even with a.
You know, speaking of Jeopardy, real quick, you know who look.
Aaron Rodgers.
Yep.
Looks like he got a better career.
He's ready. He's ready to be the host.
Yeah, yeah.
And somebody just dropped out of the running to be the permanent host.
Who did?
I just seen it the other day. Somebody, I forgot his name, dropped out of the running. He's one of the fan favorites. I don't watch Jeopardy, so.
Yeah, me either.
I always find it interesting when you see like the people, the contestants, like, yeah, I used to watch Jeopardy with my grandfather all the time or my dad. I'm like, my dad or my grandfather, neither of them like that shit.
All right, you ready?
Yeah.
So would you rather, A, have a partner who is an excellent cook / chef, but messy around the house, or B, a partner who can't cook but is willing to do any and all chores? No gray areas. Got to choose one.
I'll say B because I kind of already have B. And you know,
wow, you just hating on Nona's cooking.
She doesn't cook.
All right,
and that's okay. You know, she does mad chores around the house, and I love her for that. Takes a lot of stuff on my plate. If all I got to go home and cook, I'm okay with that. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm telling you, I just did laundry for the first time in 2 years, and I was fucking lost. And I was like, I had a FaceTime because I was like, I want it. She makes the laundry smell so good, bro. Like, I'm just gotten the sheets, everything. I've just gotten used to it. So I'm like, I need it to be this way.
Yeah.
And she told me I do, and I still fucked it up, and I was like, I'm lost. All I need is in this life of sin is me and my girlfriend. All
right, so I responded.
B.
I said, that's easy. Easy. That's B. I said, that means they have the motivation to already do other tasks necessary.
Yep.
And it allows us to learn how to cook together, which in turn lets us build a bond. So, in worst case scenario, I'll just order out.
You know what I mean? But you know what? Because I was just going to say it, but you said it. You kind of said it already. What I was saying is you are aware of what's going on. You are aware of, all right, these are my strengths. This is my weakness. I don't know how to cook either. Yeah. But you know what? You're aware of. This is the potential outcome. We could both potentially learn how to cook. Because yeah. They didn't say that they can never learn how to cook.
Yeah.
And I love the way that you kind of, cut apart the problem, really analyze it. Like, they have the ambition because they're already doing all these things.
Exactly.
So, who's to say that they might not become a master chef?
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And we'll do that together and build a bond, which strengthens the relationship.
Do you really want to live with Gordon Ramsay?
Yo, Gordon Ramsay is funny as
He's
fuck.
He's a funny guy.
I remember when the first time I really was like, yo, Gordon Ramsay is that guy. And it was on Hot Wings.
Hot Wings. I saw it.
And he was cussing up a storm. I was like, yo, this guy is funny
as
fuck.
That's his energy. That's just his energy.
But shout out to Mara. She did say I had the best male answer ever.
But that's a very calculated answer because, again, we talk about it, the awareness, but also not think. But also thinking critically.
Yeah.
That was very well thought out.
Oh, thank you.
Very well articulated.
Yeah. Because I live what I speak, man.
Look at that. This guy's taking inspiration. New merch, by the way.
Yeah, new merch.
Live what you speak.
You got to live what you speak.
Always.
It's funny. We talked about this, where you're the more calculated one most of the times. And I'm more like the creative one. But sure, I gotta give you credit, man. You did a hell of a job with that. And sometimes you need that, because you just inspired me to just be better and really attack some of the plans that I had as far as the merch goes and the things I want to get done. To be honest, it would have been done. It's just that the website limits me so much where it kills my creativity. And as a creator, when I'm in the moment,
you kinda just want a canvas.
Huh?
You just want a canvas.
Exactly.
I get what you're saying.
And when I got a canvas and nothing to paint with, it's...
Wow.
You know.
Picasso with no brush.
I just start throwing the paint on there and sell it for $3,000. What they call that shit? Abstract?
Or I don't know, bro.
Call it the shack. The mess.
The mess. Because I'm telling you this right now. So when we was out there in New York and Philly, so it was originally my brother and my sister-in-law's trip going to see my godfather because I was supposed to be in the Philippines. After, you know, I wasn't going, they're like, you should come. So it was literally down to the wire because I was like, nah, I could just be home chilling, working on shit, whatever. But they really wanted me to go, so I went. And they was talking about, oh, yeah, I want to go to a museum. And I was like, fuck that. I was like, you know what a museum is? I'm like, well, I'm like, it's literally a place where you get charged to look at old shit.
That's what you feel?
That's what I felt.
Oh, that's what you felt or what you feel?
And that's what I still feel.
Okay.
And then, let me tell you this.
So you didn't go to the museum?
No, because they wanted to go to the Met. We ended up not going because the timing didn't work out. They were closed certain days. So we ended up going to a Masonic temple, a Freemason temple in Philly. That was their idea to go to. When I tell you that shit was wild, wild cultish.
Like, what do you mean?
Like, that shit was creepy. You feel like people in hoods, like hooded cloaks was about to walk out like, all right, we need a fucking pint of your blood.
Yeah.
I was like, yo, we got to get the fuck out of here.
I'm kind of surprised.
The architecture was dope. But shit was creepy.
Would go to that though.
Me?
Yeah.
I was just tagging along with them. What am I going to do?
Sit in the car.
The car was parked really like 20 minutes on the other side of the town.
You're really strong in your beliefs. I don't know what that plays along.
Well, if I didn't do it, then they probably wouldn't have done it. So, and I was like, you know what? Like, it's their trip. I already got them to not go to the Met. So I was like, I don't want to be like, you know, I don't be the guy that ruins their trip. It's not my trip. It was just a weird fucking.
No, I respect experience. That. I respect that. So, all right, but I always tease you a little bit.
Yeah, again.
Like, you know, let's say no one wants to take Emmanuel trick or treating.
No. Okay, so the
he's comfortable.
The Masonic temple, like I did learn some things about the Mason shit that I didn't really understand, but I guess like you could believe in whatever. Religion they
want. Because I know some.
They just want you to believe in some higher power, whatever it might be. You could be Muslim, Jewish, Christian,
okay,
Buddhist, whatever. You know what I mean? Whatever. And but I was just like, yo, this shit is wild.
Yeah.
Because they was trying to keep some shit on the low. They're like, yeah, we're not that influential. And I was like 33% of the presidents were Masons. So how are you not that influential?
Yeah.
But I was like, let me just. Keep my thoughts to myself so I can make it out of here.
You ain't even ask him? Wow. So he wasn't infamously speaking at that point in time.
I was trying to infamously live, bro.
that's crazy.
I was trying to live to tell
see,
about
I,
it.
See, that's why I live what I speak.
Nah, you wouldn't have said it.
You're crazy.
You wouldn't have said it.
I'm
you
definitely that it. Asshole.
You, and, yo, and then there was,
I'm that guy.
There was people there that I was like, yeah, some of our family was in the Masons. So I was like, oh, I'm outnumbered.
Yeah, you're definitely outnumbered. You're not even supposed to be there. But... still, it's like, you gotta just live what you speak. Anyway, so you went to this Mason temple, and you seen a whole bunch of guys in hoods.
That's what I felt like was going on. And then, you know, they just give some history. It's like a history lesson or whatever, and they took us to these different rooms and shit. And I was like, yo.
And someone disappeared.
I was like, never fucking again.
All right, so two things I want to touch on. Just... based off of this story, one is why do you still feel like a museum is somewhere where they charge you like that old shit?
Think about it.
Some museums have stuff that's new, by the way.
That's true. But where we was going, okay.
The majority of places, I get what you're saying.
Because, yeah, they have, like, modern museums.
Oh, yeah, no, I get what you meant.
Wax museums.
But still, I feel like that's more of, like, with many things, and I was going to mention this earlier, where people's mindset, it almost dictates and determines what it is. For example, if I have a stuffy nose, I can say, I'm getting sick. And then usually, most times, people get sick.
Yeah.
Because you got that mind state. Or like, for example, if I'm going into a movie and I'm like, this movie's going to be whack. Majority of times, you'll be like, that shit was whack. Because you put yourself in that mind state. Don't get in the way of your own opportunities to find old shit. So think about it more like going to a yard sale. There's some hidden gems in some yard sales.
I don't want to go to one of those either.
Why? Because it's old shit?
Because I don't want to go to a yard sale.
So I don't like going either. But I will say some of the best times I had as a child was going with my great-grandmother, who every Saturday had to go to a yard sale.
Yeah, but the difference between a museum and a yard sale is at a yard sale you can actually touch shit. You touch that museum, you're getting kicked out. Maybe that's what I should have did.
Should have did that. If you don't want
to
be there.
Like $35, $40 a ticket just to get kicked out in 2 seconds? I ain't.
You know what you could have bought with $35, $40 at a yard sale?
Mad shit.
All right, so that's one thing, right? That's one of the things I want to talk about.
That's a good point.
The other thing is...
No interest.
I feel you. But you're getting your own way. Because you might see something that's dope.
Yeah, for sure. But I remember I went to the MoMA. I'm like, that shit is dumb.
So you have a bad experience.
No, you know I got a bad experience. And I'm not sure if I said this on the show before. But I'm like, I've seen shit at the MoMA that's on there. And it's super expensive paintings. And it's like critically acclaimed. And it just looks like somebody threw fucking paint at a canvas.
That's what I said.
And then I get my fucking art project that I worked 2 weeks hard on. I got a fucking C, bro. I'm like, yo, I thought art was supposed to be subjective. That's fucking crazy.
That's valid.
How do you grade art?
That's valid.
How do you grade art?
I don't know.
Is it one? It better be every single art professor in the fucking school saying this is a bad piece of art, but not just one person.
I want to know why.
Want to know why?
I should have asked those questions when I was young. I think they would probably say because I was barely ever there, but I want to know why, Miss Cash.
And it wasn't even a super artistic class. It was printmaking. So like we would carve shit in like molds and then make prints of it.
Okay.
So it wasn't even. I remember I made this dope fucking Wu-Tang shit.
No, you didn't.
I did. And actually, I got an A on that project. That project I got an A on because the teacher was like, "Yo, I fuck with Wu-Tang." Yo, some hippie stoner white lady. So you know she fucked with Wu-Tang. Yeah, she was like this.
Throwing out the Wu.
In the back. But outside of that, everything I got was like a C, which is trash.
All right. So on to my other point about what you were saying with the Mason shit. Somehow, some way, I stumbled upon a video. I would shout out the video, but I don't remember the name of the content creator. But it was going through the Illuminati and how the Illuminati from the pretty much molded the culture change from 96 to now. And I ain't gonna lie, a lot of the shit that was up and like he put in into perspective was like, that sounds pretty valid. Like the 51, so the number 51, which was I fucking forgot it now, to be quite honest. But the point is that the Illuminati's real. They had a big influence on the VMAs. A lot of shit with the prison, the eye, and all that.
Yeah, and this guy was like, Freemasons, we're not connected with the Illuminati.
Oh, they said that?
He said, straight up said it.
So they said that for a reason.
That was one of the first points he made.
Oh, yeah, see?
And he was like, we're not really that influential on society.
Yeah, that's like us coming on here saying, I don't know, Matt, I don't know what a podcast is.
And then he tried to tell me that the Knights Templar wasn't really that bad. You know what the Knights Templar was?
From way back, yeah.
They're pretty much the church.
Oh, yeah, and they had the cross there,
yeah,
right?
They're pretty much...
That's part of Illuminati.
They're pretty much the church's hitman.
Yeah, that's part of Illuminati.
And he was like, yeah, they did a lot of good stuff. And I was like...
You just agreed. I can't do it. Yeah, we're going back there.
I was like,
you and me, we're going back there.
I was like, look at my mom. I'm like, so when the fuck? And then the worst fucking part, people always asking the stupid questions.
Yo, nothing was stupid. Yo, nothing was worse than the time we took that business class. Please tell that story. Shout out to John.
I can't.
Shout out to John at Liberty Bank. He got us into a business class, a small business class, because we ended up getting our LLC and stuff. But they had instructors there, and they came up with a scenario. Tell a scenario, please. I can't do it. But it was legit the worst answer I've ever heard in my life.
Nah, so they was talking about the solution to a problem. They was talking about a boat. They were like, say you're stranded in the ocean, and you see a boat passing by, and there's a chance that you could swim to reach it. They're like, would you, and they're like, and you could tell which direction it's going. Yeah. They're like, would you swim right towards the boat, or would you try to swim ahead of the boat, right? And what they was trying to say was like, do you have the foresight to predict what's ahead?
Yeah.
You try to swim above, in front of the pack.
Yeah.
And somebody was like, it's not like, which way is the wind blowing?
Yeah. It was so irrelevant to what the answer was gonna be.
Yeah, I think the instructor was dumbfounded. They're like, well, let's assume it's not a sailboat.
Yo, I'm done.
Yo, and then this guy, of course, he's like, what?
Yo, I wasn't trying to be rude, but it was like, what are you talking about right now? Yo, it couldn't have been a worse response that shit to was a terrible. Question ever.
That shit was terrible. Life. They clearly said you could tell which direction the boat is going in.
Yo,
that shit was so crazy. Bad. Like, even John was like...
It's crazy because somebody's getting medical attention from her right now as we speak. That's so bad.
That shit was top five, one of the worst things I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, man. I guess you had to be there. But if you guys didn't laugh at that, you guys had to be there, I guess.
Definitely had
it was
to
one
be
of those
there.
Jokes.
But the questions weren't that bad.
Nah.
But it was like, the questions were like shit that you could have just made the inference on your own. And it just prolonged the tour to what it longer than what it really needed to be. Because then the tour guy thought he was really funny. Because he was trying to come up with like snappy one-liners and shit.
Yep.
And it was wild corny. So I was like, damn. This shit was like, it wasn't the way.
Where was this at?
I was in Philly. Right, literally right across from City Hall in Philly is the temple.
Like the city of Philly?
Yeah, the City Hall, right across from the City Hall in Philly.
In Philly?
In Philly.
Not in the woods where you
nah,
were.
Nah,
that
nah.
sounds like somewhere in the woods.
Nah, apparently that's like the Great Lodge of Pennsylvania or whatever. Like, it was in Philly.
In the hood of Philly?
Nah, that area looked pretty nice. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. That's the first time I've ever been to Philly. But it was literally like downtown Philly. No, because it was right by, well, police departments being the hood. But it was like, it looked nicer than other places in Philly.
All right.
And like literally dead across the street from City Hall.
Sometimes those are places that get you fucked up the most, though. When you think shit's sweet because it looked nice, you got a police department.
Oh, that's true.
You get caught slipping.
That's true. There was a homeless dude in the corner screaming at the cops because he was literally right outside the precinct, and he was in the corner. They had this little like pillars that met, and he was in the corner of it with his blanket on, like, "Leave me the fuck alone, you fucking pigs!" And the cops are like, "Ah, yeah." They're like, "He does this every day."
See, I can respect that.
Yeah.
So I was in a car, right? And I was with someone, and there was a panhandler. And I was at the light, of course. And I was like, yo, see, I can't give them no money. And they was like, why? And I was like, because I don't see the reason. Like, at least if you're going to be there, entertain me to some degree. Like, write something funny. Write something funny. So we go, and we finally get close. And I'm like, and I told the person, I was like, see, this is the first problem I have with her sign. Is I can't read it. She needs a better marker, yo. Like,
you can't afford one.
You need a better marker. If you have a sign, I gotta be able to read the fucking sign. It looked like they was holding up just a piece of cardboard.
Well, that's like, a big problem.
Yeah.
Yo, let me tell you something. There's a guy right outside of where I work in North Windham that has an amp and plays violin.
Dumb. Oh, he's lit. He's lit.
I'm not sure how much bread he's getting, but he's working. He's almost like, you know, when you've been to subways in New York and people play the guitar or like drums and shit and they got the guitar case open or a box.
Yeah.
He's working for it. He's working. So I get what you're saying. Like, don't just, you know, stand there and then look at me all awkwardly like you expect me to give you some money.
I feel you. So here's another one.
Making me feel
bad. This is all like the same time frame and same area. It just so happens to be like coincidence. But this is in Hartford, and I get out of the car, and Hartford is kind of busy, right? So I don't even know if I'm able to park where I'm at. So I'm getting out to talk to people.
Answer's like, probably no.
Yo, can I park here? Can I park here? It ended up being yes, actually, which I found like prime real estate parking.
That's crazy.
By luck. So I'm walking across, and this, you know, this lady's holding up one of them white index cards you used to take notes on. I'm like, what is she doing?
Cardboard's at a premium.
And then I look, and she wanted money. But the car was so fucking small. I was like, who is going to stop and be like, oh, she needs money off that index card? Like, it doesn't look like that. You know,
she's like, yo, that should come with a telescope.
Yo, that shit is crazy. I almost felt bad and gave her the money to go get, like, a piece of cardboard with a marker. But I was like, nah, she's trying to change the game.
That's right.
So
you can't do that.
You can't do that.
You can't do that.
I like the ones that tell a story. You know,
you're
I
like,
went to Nam and got my leg shot off, so I need some bread. So I throw some bread.
But the problem is they'd be lying because they'd be having like two good legs.
Yeah, should be real. You know, I remember I seen a 60 Minutes. It was a woman in New York, and they followed her, and she was like, she was legit with it. She went, they followed her. She went to her Benz. Brand new Benz. I'm like, yo, that's crazy.
And that's what's sad, though, because, like, that's probably, like, 5% of the 100 that really need help.
Yeah.
And, but, and, like,
I'm not knocking nobody who's like, doing it.
I remember, I forgot where I was. It was somewhere here in Connecticut. And I was driving, and there was somebody at an intersection, and there was, like, money, and they had crutches on. And they're like, you know, can't afford surgery, you know, fell and broke my ankle. I'm like, damn, that's crazy. And then I remember coming back because I was just making a stop at a store. And I remember coming back and I see the person walking around, no crutches, no nothing.
That's crazy.
Perfectly fine.
That's crazy.
And I was like, yo, that shit.
Buying name brand shit in front of you.
I'm like, is that legit Hermes? That's Hermes Paris, this guy went.
That's crazy.
Gucci slide.
That's crazy.
I guess the point I'm saying is those people are working for their money. Work. You got to work. That's what we talk about, positive adversity. You got to work.
Oh, there's a couple things I should just, you know, follow up with is one is I don't knock anybody for doing that. And, some people just
times
have a hard time and they need that hand that we talked about. Some people do need a hand.
And that's most of it. That's most of it.
You know, you have some people that have problems and addictions and shit like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, you really do wish best for people, but, you know, life is what it is. And I remember one guy, yo, this guy, you know, he had his bike where he was standing at. I'm like, yo, his fucking bike is a brand new Trek. I can't even get a bike like that right now. You know, plus I always think like this too, is a lot of people that stand out there with the sign, they could be doing something very similar and getting paid for it.
Very true.
But and I to on the other side of the coin, I don't know everybody's story and
that's
shit like
also
that.
True.
So I don't,
sometimes you need an address to get legit employment and shit. But I mean, some people is just lazy at the same part of it. But that's kind of getting back to what we was talking about is, you know, when shit is difficult, that's when you really got to step up. That's when you really got to try to find away. That's when you can't allow your situation to get the best of you. Period. Like, you gotta be like, this is what I'm gonna do. This is what I'm facing, but I can rise above this. You got to have that confidence. You got to have the confidence that you're going to come out of whatever you're going through and you're going to make it. Because listen, the point back to the matter is no one's ever going to face more than what they can handle.
Yeah.
And that's period. And you might think like, no, I can't handle this. No, I can't handle this. You can.
Yeah.
You can, but you said it's a fucking mindset. Oh, I think I'm going to get sick. I'm going to get sick. You're sick. Oh, I can't make it. I can't make it. You didn't make it. Live. You're going to have to live. You're going to live what you speak one way or another.
Wow.
You don't live what you speak, then people
whether it's positive or whether it's negative.
Exactly. The power of life and death live on your tongue, period. You speak positive over your situation, you got to overcome. You speak negative over your situation, you got nobody else to blame but yourself.
Manifest that shit.
Manifest that shit, man. This is why this is infamously speaking, because we're going to tell you the real shit. We're going to tell you the real shit. Whenever I don't succeed, I can't blame anybody else but myself. Period. And that's it. Why? Why did I not succeed? Because I didn't put in enough work. That's it. That's it. Because we've seen people do amazing things. People that, oh, no, there's no way they could do it. Like, I mean, and again, sports is the perfect fucking example. Look at, like, 50%, maybe more than 50% of the athletes were kids who were fucking homeless, bro.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't know. All they had was sports, bro. All they had was... they're like, I look forward to going to school and playing sports because it got me out of my fucking situation.
Yep.
And I know you've shared stories on this podcast where you could relate to that.
It's an outlet.
But what did you do? Did you use that as an excuse to not be successful? No, use it as fuel
fire
to be successful. And that's all it is, man. That's all it is, and that's always what it will be. You live what you speak. Period.
Live what you speak.
Live
and
what you
speak.
Speak
what you live.
Period. This is infamously speaking. Signing off. We give love. We don't take love. Y'all might try to take our love, but you're not taking it because we're freely giving it.
But I'll take love, so show us some love.
Yeah, show us some love. Show me some love.
And as always, think critically, speak infamously. We out.